Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight. I had a rough day, but that's life. It happens.
Oh, you damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Monday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings, back from a couple quick days of vacation. Trey Elling is producing. And how about 19 days till Texas plays Maryland? We are closing in and closing in fast. How you doing, sir?
Get those on. I'm good.
Terrible,
how are
sorry.
You? No, you're all good.
I'm good.
I'm good too, man. Good day off. 2 days off.
I had a good 2 days off.
I would say vacation because it really wasn't vacation.
Yeah, 2 days doesn't really necessarily make a vacation, but I did get to recharge the batteries a little bit. I have the Bill Hicks book for you. All
okay,
finished.
Cool.
My third eye has been squeegeed.
Squeegeed clean out in
sort of West Texas. And got some,
you did mushrooms.
That's right. Got some Doc and Sylvia time and got to see my niece before she goes off to A&M. So, yeah, it was a good time.
So, I had totally forgot you were in Cisco.
Cisco, Texas.
I always forget Cisco.
Yes.
And that's where the grandparents lived.
Right. That is where both sides of my family grew up.
Okay.
Yeah, both sides of my family are both from that little town.
How is Cisco doing? Hanging on?
Yeah, it's hanging on. That's a good way to say
okay.
it. Hanging on. A little less than 4,000 people.
I took that from you. I think I asked you a year ago, and you said, it's hanging on.
It's hanging on, yeah. A little less than 4,000 people. My dad is pumped that they put a brewery downtown. There's a little craft brewery. He's excited about that.
Lone Star?
Red Gap Brewery is the thing. Making their own stuff.
Oh.
Right downtown.
Okay, there's a strip club up north near Denton.
Is that right?
Called the Red Gap.
I bet there is.
It's a late night place.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a good weekend though. So, I was able to stay connected to some sports over the weekend.
Oh man, we talked about that.
I got back yesterday and watched the golf. I'm sure we'll talk about that. There's a lot of football stuff. Watched the Cowboys and the Texans in their first preseason games. But where do we need to start on Monday? Is there anything in particular you think we need to hit first?
There's a lot of stuff. We could hit the Tom Herman stuff over the weekend because we didn't hit that on Friday. We could hit Tiger Woods. We could hit the Astros getting swept. We could hit linebacker depth. Sometimes I have fun with you. We always say, this is kind of a big three. We may have a big four today.
There may be more than that.
Yeah. Like, and actually big.
I think the Tom Herman story is interesting from one perspective. I've been doing this for over 19 years, mostly doing a talk show. I can't ever remember a story that had these exact ingredients. A media member, if we consider this Snook guy to be a media member, he covers Ohio State, right? So let's call him a media member for the sake of the argument. One media member goes on Facebook and states out loud to everybody, hey, this guy, I know who the source is for this other story, and I'm going to tell you who the source is.
Yep.
I don't ever remember that happening. Do you?
No. No, I don't.
I mean, clearly we'll have media members say, look, I don't give up my sources. I'm not going to talk about my sources. Or they'll clearly state their source. They'll say, the head of the Board of Regents told me that blah, blah, blah. But this one, and then the extra step of Brett McMurphy going, okay, for the record, I never give up my sources.
But I'll tell you, he wasn't it.
Right. I don't remember people doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it was childish, the whole thing was, and it did seem like a redirect or a misdirect.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're an Ohio State guy.
Well, and as people were saying, does it matter? Are we not talking about what's the subject here?
Right. Yeah. The
source or the subject?
It feels like
what happened.
Right. It feels like there's it is designed to draw your attention over here
a little bit
when the trick is going on over here.
And I don't see that a lot on TV with politics and just things in general now. It's a pretty genuine world.
Oh, everything is right up front. I don't think anything's being hidden. This is the first time I've seen anything hidden in a long time.
So I did fall.
So that story comes out over the weekend. If you missed it, don't feel bad. It wasn't much of a story. But
it was for about an hour and a half.
Okay,
it's a good reason why your Twitter usage is perfect.
Okay.
So if it would have been OJ, Twitter still today would be actually even more so.
Would still be losing it,
be losing it. So if it's big, it's big. If it's big for an hour, then Brett McMurphy comes and says this. Well, you had an hour and a half of maybe, hopefully excitement, I guess.
I guess it was a little, yeah. I just barely saw it on like, it was a Saturday evening I saw that on my phone on like a CBS story. And then I believe this is right. The information was communicated. Tom Herman, through a spokesperson, got the information to Brian Davis of the Statesman, who we're going to talk to today at 5:05, that... You know, he denied that he or anybody in his family, you know, broke that story. And then there was something about a financial situation and the fact that his wife had helped Courtney Smith out in the past. And he said, look, that happened. Yeah, she helped her friend out, but there hasn't been anything since then. And yeah, right. Like that was the horrible story. The horrible story of the weekend is that Tom Herman's wife once helped somebody out with money. How dare she do that?
Who was dealing with a domestic assault case.
Right, who was dealing with all kinds of stuff. Well, and in 2017, I believe it was, she's 2 years past divorce. So there's who knows what she's dealing with, right? So that story did happen over the weekend. And then...
Don't you feel like we know too much?
Oh, absolutely.
We know stuff we shouldn't know.
Yeah, right. And
back to that simpler life.
And in this case...
That was Saturday. Crickets.
In this case, I would ask the guy that's maybe covering for Ohio State, let's say you do believe...
I don't buy him at all. I think he's an urban guy.
Maybe, right? Maybe it's maybe just a plant to get it out there. But if you honestly believed you were doing good journalism or if you believed you were a journalist, what do you gain out of that other than what you said? It's just distraction, right? You're just pulling somebody's attention away.
When you show up, if you're media, and you show up and you're media for a Texas football game, have you ever seen me wear a Texas shirt? Unless it's Zone or Horn or wherever we've worked.
No.
That's
no.
it?
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's not, those would be the only two. That's why I said that. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if you got a picture, that's it.
Right. It may be the color, but it wouldn't
or,
be the.
I guess LHN, I'll throw that in there too.
But it wouldn't be the logo.
But yeah, if you're just doing it, if you're doing a radio show or you're writing, I've never seen Kirk Bowles or any of them wearing like Longhorn up there, and apparently he's wearing Ohio State stuff, which is fine. I mean, you know, so this job I really like, and this has been my favorite job because I can kind of mix, and we're more fan and giving our sports opinion than true media.
Right. That's true. Now, as long as the guy.
And I like that.
As long as the guy wasn't wearing blue, Urban was cool. I mean, Urban was good with him as long as he wasn't wearing blue.
He's not wearing blue.
As long as he didn't say the word Michigan.
So, but like, I don't know a lot about this guy. All I know is the story just doesn't float very far for me.
That was a bizarre. Yeah, that was a strange part of the weekend. But the other thing on the more tangible side for Texas, man, these injuries in especially one area where they didn't need it, the Deli Adeyewe linebacker injury. That's the one that I'm hearing could be the most serious.
Yeah, and that one scares me. We've talked about Overshown and how he's almost filling in right now and that his body probably will be perfect for that type of spot, but not right now.
They spun him down to a linebacker.
Because of need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this is scary. We talked about it on Friday, and I was knocking on wood. Obviously not enough, and here we are to where that's going to be a spot. I heard Rod talk about it, and he's right. Once you get to Big 12 play, if there is one spot on the defense that you're going to be a little light, maybe linebacker is the spot. You don't want to be light anywhere, but right now it's a concern, and it just goes to show you where the program is. Just, you know, we saw it last year with offensive line, Chad. It's just part of rebuilding this program is building depth.
If you have to pick something on your defense in the Big 12 to be short on, it is linebacker.
If you had to pick.
Right. That's probably fair.
I want my backup punter to have a hamstring problem. But yeah, I mean, if we're going to get realistic, and you said one of the starting spots in Big 12 play on defense of the three units, it's not even a choice.
Right. You'd probably go there. There's no official word on Adeyewe and how long he's going to be out there. He's being assessed. Devontae Davis with a hamstring injury and DeMarvion Overshown with a knee. Those two, at least the first reports were, they weren't as serious, but we'll see. That was all in a Saturday scrimmage over the weekend. So we'll definitely talk Texas football. We will also talk some college football because our Horn Top 20 hits number 15 today. We will get you that right after I tell you about Total Men's Primary Care. Football season right around the corner. 19 days till Texas plays Maryland. Get your year wellness check done, guys, if you haven't done that yet. And if you're down in Kyle, they have another location for you. 11 total now in the area. The one in Kyle is four doors down from the HEB Plus there in Kyle. And remember, they see guys, they don't see women, they don't see kids. They just get those guys in and out real fast. average wait time is about 4 minutes, something like that. I think I waited five the last time I was in there. They accept most insurance, so don't keep waiting. Don't go 2 or 3 or 5 years between visits. Get in there, get those screenings that you need to get done, check your cholesterol, get the blood test, and yes, if you're over 40, you need to be worrying about that prostate exam as well. Might be time to get that done. Go to TotalMens.com. Find the location that's right for you. Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office, just for men. Trey, do we have a good old sounder to fire up today for our Horn Top 20?
But give me about 25 seconds. I've got to finish recording your live read, which includes a 30-second tale.
Oh, my bad. Okay, I got you. So we have to have 30 seconds of tale.
Sorry, hi, guys, tale. It was asked for by sales.
That's fair. That's okay.
Chad, have I ever told you how much longer 20 seconds? Have I ever told you how much I probably need an exam and how many guys my age don't get checked up? Enough
and too many
because you just and 30.
You just turned.
Who cares? Yeah. Whatever. We're robbing a dice.
Oh, come on now. Come on. I appreciate you. Appreciate you helping me up to that point, though.
College football top 20 brought to you by Reliable Automotive.
Love. He's got a chance. Oh, what kind of speed do you got, Bryce Love? He's got enough. Oh, touchdown, Stanford.
Number 15, the Stanford Cardinal.
Oh, there you go. No. I like the car horn at the beginning, too.
Smoking J's. Gonna make 800K. Hedge fund up in a tree. That weird liberally.
All right, we're good. Can't you see the tree dancing in your mind?
I see hippie chicks.
As you hear this music, I see that tree in my mind dancing and moving
around. I see some
around.
Brooks Koepka girlfriends. Because she had the hippie skirt last time. You can tell there's a little hippie chick, but she's good looking.
She is good looking.
She is a good looking woman.
She is good looking. I'm going to guess, am I watching, is that just really fast metabolism? That's a thin woman.
Yeah.
That is a thin, thin woman. Maybe
she's a model.
Is she really?
I think they're real, too.
Oh, is she? Okay. I looked at her and I thought, is that too thin? Are we too thin there? But I guess if she's a model, she's got to keep herself down there, though. But beautiful smile, pretty girl.
They've got that good 1940 relationship where she always is like five steps behind him. Like Donald and Melania.
Brooks Koepka, yeah, he's looking good over the weekend, too. That's a good-looking dude. He's built and ready to roll, smashing drives like 320.
And so calm and cool.
Yeah, smooth. Everything about him is just
so were you
smooth.
In? Were you in? Because
oh,
I had the IV in. I'm recording. I mean, you would have thought it was Chris Trampy over there, like the guy who watches every single tournament and is, you see the Thursday 10 a.m. tee off? No, no one cares about the Palapager Open in Greensville. This one, I was in. I was in.
I peeked in on Saturday just to see who was sort of in the lead, what the leaderboard looked like. Tuned in at the right moment. I literally watched for 2.5 minutes, realized Tiger was within, I don't know, 4 or 5 shots. And then I said, okay. And then I told myself, I'm going to record. Then I set the DVR to record Sunday when I was going to be back home. And yeah, I just sat yesterday, watched the whole thing. It was amazing.
I rewatched it on CBS Sports last night.
Did you really? Now that's heavy duty.
That, I mean, because I'm not
heavy duty.
Johnny Golf guy.
No, you're not.
I think I'm a pretty good litmus test on, and the needles moved. Compared to last year, the final round, the overnight rating was 69% higher.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And not just Tiger, but Tiger playing like he was playing. There's something different about.
Oh, there's no doubt.
When you're in the middle of the fairway and you do what they do, it's amazing. But something in all golf fans' minds gets a little more excited when it's like, wait, Tiger's where? He didn't hit a fairway the whole front nine, but he still went, what, -2 or -3? For the front nine.
Faldo said it's the most amazing front nine he's ever seen. And I think it was because of that, because
right.
He didn't hit. It wasn't the best he's ever seen, because someone would have, in the front nine, nailed every fairway and every approach would have been like Tiger's and you finish the putt. And there's been a lot of golf, right?
Right.
And that front nine could have been in that tournament I was just talking about. But yeah, I mean, it was that weird mix of he's back, but I have no confidence this is going to stick. And I wanted to watch. I had to watch every driver like I watch Who's America.
Oh, I was just, yeah.
I mean,
oh, I was cringed.
The fingers,
yeah, every
wondering
drive.
About humanity, not kind of liking it, not really liking it, all that stuff. And then when the approach stuff, I mean, it just, He was insane.
No, it was incredible. He was just throwing lawn darts at every green, but he missed so many fairways. Yeah, just the drama.
Couple putts, too, especially couple early. Key putts. The one that lipped out, was that one or two?
Number one, I think, yeah. And then Koepka, man. And like you said, Koepka was so smooth. So, I mean, he had a little bit of a slide, little bit of shakiness, where he may have given up one or two, and then he got those two birdie putts to fall. But he is so calm, cool, and collected. That was fun to watch. We'll definitely
he had to wait a lot too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, there was a lot of.
Is Adam Scott one of those guys? Do you guys know on the tour? Does he have that rep?
They take too long.
Like a Sergio rep because now he had a couple judgments too. Where they had to come over for the ruling, and the mall cop skirts over.
that takes a while.
That can take a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he's got the rep, but they did take a while. But yeah, he dealt with all of it. I felt bad for Koepka in that one moment where I can't remember if it was 17 or 18. Yeah, where they're over there with Adam Scott.
Oh, you're
it was on 18.
He's sitting there.
He's like, can I finish this tournament out? What
now,
are we doing?
It did help him out because Scott was close enough and Scott was so far left that it's probably one of those, you know what? I'll take this scenario as opposed to you hitting it right down the fairway.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the only thing Koepka's got to realize is you need to be the last guy to hit. Don't finish that putt out and let Adam Scott be the last guy to hit on that green.
He's going to get national pressure to wifey her, isn't he?
And
maybe they have a great relationship, but maybe they need another 2 years of dating.
I don't know that he'll get that pressure. I think the groupies on the golf tour would like Brooks to stay unmarried if he's unmarried.
Right, but he's going to be a target.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like someone's going to want him to put a ring on someone soon.
Yeah, probably. It's probably true. And maybe his financial...
Stay free, Brooks.
His financial advisor might not be one of those people.
See, probably not.
Yeah,
see.
Not one of yeah. those people.
Unless she's single.
So we'll definitely mention the PGA, but Stanford is our number 15 team in the Horn Top 20. David Shaw, my God, time flies, 8th year at Stanford. You heard the highlight with Bryce Love in it. He's the big story this year. Yet another Stanford running back. It feels like they've got one every year that's been a big deal. Of course, McCaffrey was before Bryce Love, and now Bryce is in his senior year, Heisman hopeful. And Stanford is, they're one of my favorite teams in the Pac-12 every year. I love the way Shaw coaches. They always feel so put together, fundamental, the whole thing, physical. I love watching Stanford.
Yeah, I like Shaw a lot. I don't think I like him. I don't love him as much as other people. I like him a lot, though. And the biggest thing they've had problems with is trying to replace the quarterback, and I think they've done that this year. They're my favorite to win the Pac-12. And we've gone back-to-back now on teams that I'm really going to be into and watching a lot early because I think they can do some damage. And that was Mississippi State, who you missed on Friday.
Right.
And then Stanford comes in here at number 15. I like him a lot. Love's got to stay healthy. When he was healthy last year, he was the best running back in college football. You remember me talking about that a lot. And
yep.
Saying, you got to see this guy. I mean, his vision, and then once he goes, when he can scoot through a lane, he can get north-south very quickly, yet he's still agile, can move around. We saw Saquon Barkley in the one long run he had. He kind of created that on his own, and he got lateral, saw the hole, and then it's that suddenness to be able to really get north-south as quickly as he can. I think Love's the best running back in the country. I think Costello, who was a top-five recruit, started to come on last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best sign for them. You guys all know I love Caden Smith, and Caden Smith, I believe, is a redshirt junior, so he could be a first-round pick this year. He's a kid who played with my nephew.
That's the tight end?
At Marcus.
Is that right?
The tight end. And
so he's dumb.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Walker Little's a guy, another guy at Texan we missed out on. I think we were closer on Walker than we were on Caden Smith. That's the left tackle. If you guys know that recruiting story, that one's pretty funny. But he's going to be a beast. They've got a lot of experience on the line. They're going to go their two tights. They're going to try and mash you. I think offensively they're going to be set up. Defensively, they returned 6 starters. I like them up front. I like Dylan, who's a Dylan Jackson's guy I was thinking of. And then also I've heard good things about Dalen Wade Perry, who wasn't a huge recruit, but is going to be a big guy and is really going to have to dominate that inside in their 3-down look. It's going to be about defense for me. And then I always kind of wonder if they have any athletes out on the outside. But they would be my favorite to win what I think is going to be a pretty pretty open Pac-12.
Coming up at 4:05, we're going to talk with Tom Fitzgerald of the San Francisco Chronicle. He covers Stanford for the Chronicle and has done so for a while, for about 10 years now. They had a scrimmage yesterday, I believe it was, and he had some thoughts on that. I was reading one of his stories, so we're going to get his thoughts on the defense, who's standing out. Apparently there's a redshirt freshman on that defense that's looking really good, but they also have some banged up guys on the offensive side, offensive line. Bryce Love is sitting out right now for a lot of what they're doing in terms of scrimmages or whatever.
I don't blame them.
They're trying to keep him ready. You know, keep him ready for the season. In terms,
it was an ankle last year.
Yeah,
and it just never really got healthy.
Yeah, that's a key for their season. They only end up with 9 wins only because, you know, at times they've obviously done more than that. The previous 2 years they had 10 and 12 wins, but him getting hurt was a big deal for them last year. Schedule wise, they go to Oregon and Notre Dame in back to back weeks in September. And USC is their second game, which we've mentioned. This is the team that Texas fans you need to hope can just beat USC to hell.
Yeah.
Beat, win or loss, they just put something so physical on USC that the Trojans drag themselves to Austin on the 15th.
Yeah, you hope that happens, and you hope that Ohio State does the same thing to TCU.
Yeah, that's two good ones. Two good ones that Texas fans may get. Later in the season, the big one, if Kevin is right, Stanford, if they're going to win the North and ultimately win the Pac-12, they go to Washington November 3rd. Huge game.
Yep.
There in Seattle. That's going to be a lot of fun because it's Costello and Browning. Obviously, everybody knows about Browning. I think they're going to find out about Costello. I'm kind of with you. I dig him. I'd forgotten how big he was. This is a 6'5 kid that can sling it. And it can move a little bit when he needs to, but, you know, mainly if he can continue to improve as a passer, he's going to be really interesting as a discussion for the next level.
2 years ago, number 7 Stanford goes to Washington, and I told you this is going to be a blowout. I forgot what the line was, but I told you this is going to be Stanford was getting too much love, mm-hmm. and they were living in the past, and or at least people that were judging them were kind of living from last year and the year before. And Washington was coming out of nowhere. Washington beat him 44-6. Didn't feel that close. This year, I almost feel the reverse. Now, it's August, but right now, when I look at that, I think Washington may be getting a little bit too much love based on what they've done the last. And I'll see if some of these guys can rebuild and replenish what they've lost on all three levels defensively and some of the skill level they've lost on the outside offensively. Stanford, to me, though, you go, okay, well, who are these guys? I think Stanford is better equipped right now to come in and win this Pac-12. That's November 3rd, so we'll see how they're playing and who's healthy.
Yeah, a lot of football to go until then. So we're talking Stanford today. We'll hit the Pac-12 and Big Ten during this week, among other things, in our Horn Top 20. Talking Stanford today. Big 3 is coming up. If you're a Houston area fan, got all kinds of stories for you, and depending on your perspective, they might all be bad. The Astros got swept over the weekend in 4 games. That's clearly bad, and it's official now. Carmelo Anthony's a Rocket. You can decide if that's good or bad. This is The Horn. Just getting started on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. The high is 96 today, going back up to 98 tomorrow. So still pretty darn warm as we roll through August. What do you got here, Trey?
This is off of Spotify's Discover Weekly playlist made specifically for my login, although my login it consists of just a dumpster fire of selections considering that like 7 different people use it throughout the day. This is the Marcus King Band, though, guys. The song is called Ain't Nothing Wrong With That.
All right.
I like that sound.
Very good. So part of what I did this weekend was friends of my parents wanted to go to this show. So we went to this, like, it's like a play, but kind of a concert.
Did you get him out of the home?
No. There's no homes involved. Although the concert at the home would have been really cool. But
you remember the story when you left? The nursing home?
Oh, no, it wasn't that. Yeah, no, we weren't. It was this, and not a metal show. So, yeah, but we didn't have to get anybody out of a nursing home for this. So, it was a show about Patsy Cline.
Okay.
About this story in Patsy Cline's life that somebody made into a play years ago. They tour around with it.
And we should stand by my man, or is that
Tammy Wynette? Okay. That's Tammy Wynette. Yeah, she was crazy, and I Fall to Pieces, and then died in a plane crash.
Right.
And so, anyway, they did it. It was in Albany, Texas. kind of northwest of Cisco. And yeah, it's pretty cool. The lady that did Patsy Cline was pretty good. It's
nice.
It's a hard thing to try to do, sing Patsy Cline songs.
I would think that's tough.
And she was good. She wasn't fantastic, but she was good.
Good enough?
Good enough. Okay. She was solid for that venue at that moment. I thought, you know what? You're doing an all right job. What
kind of grub do you have out there?
We went to a Mexican food place that I probably wouldn't go to again.
Wow, okay.
Let's
not give that name.
Yeah, the chips were less than. The sauce was all right.
The chips?
Chips weren't good. That's the handshake of a Mexican food place to me.
That means they're buying them and they're getting stale or something.
So like thin and not thin, but not in a good way. Oily, but not in a good way.
Okay.
Just kind of like, nah.
And then, that way with the homemade tortillas, too, at a lot of Mexican or Tex-Mex spots.
Right. If you screw that up, what else is there? Now, the enchiladas I had were pretty good, but once I got there, I'd been through the bad chips and kind of watched the rest of it and thought, yeah, you know what? And the beans, too. I love a good charro bean, borracho beans. That I always go away from the refried. I can't remember the last time I had beans at a Mexican food place and wished that I'd gone with refried.
Mm.
That's what I felt like, though, because I love black beans, charro beans, borracho beans, all of that.
You're into Mexican beans.
Yeah, I took two bites and thought I should have gone with refried. So, yeah, that part wasn't good, but the show was good.
Hey, real quick before you guys get to the big three here, Chad, have you said something about Aretha Franklin in the recent past?
I thought.
No.
Trey and I are right
here. I don't believe so.
Just checking.
I looked at that during the break.
What's going on?
She's gravely ill.
Are you serious?
Days, her family is saying.
Oh, no. We're about to lose the queen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awful. No, you can't put any of that on me. I adore Aretha Franklin.
You do. But you don't like the Blues Brothers.
Well.
And you have, I think, in the recent last couple of weeks, said something about the Blues Brothers. And as musical, I mean, she's a musical genius, and that's what she's always going to be known as. But I would think that that's got to be have a little place in her heart where she was able to perform with that many other Hall of Famers and wasn't on, that I remember, in a lot of movies. Maybe she was.
This is the path you're going to take to get me to kill Aretha Franklin. Is that what you're doing?
I'm not the one who's doing this.
You're getting on
legend
the path.
Legend and Sweet Woman.
Just because I've said that I don't really feel the need to watch that movie over and over again, and I do think it's a bit overcooked.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like being one of the all-time greatest comedies ever.
I remember asking you about that scene and you not liking that
scene.
That's
not true.
That is true.
No, that's not true. The Aretha, the Ray Charles, the music is, for me, is what holds that movie together. My problem with that movie is all the comedy stuff. That's my problem. The music's fine.
Okay.
It's the comedy stuff. That's like, you guys are on what? A mission from who? Oh, okay. I didn't hear it the first 9 times.
All of a sudden, Chad gets super serious when he's watching a movie, but he watches Vader Man and X-Man have sex with Lizard Woman and create this superhero.
Isn't that neat? Maybe this could happen in some alternate world.
How did you know what I was watching over the weekend? That's amazing. I was watching Lizard Man.
You watch wrestling!
Right. What does that have to do with a movie?
You can't get your mind there?
That's two completely different things. Come on. By the way, speaking of wrestling, rest in peace to Jim the Anvil Neidhart, who died.
You killed him, too.
I did not kill Neidhart. Come on.
Yeah, I saw this guy on Twitter. Boy, there's a, I don't know if this is a shock, but a lot of wrestling fans are on Twitter.
There's also a lot of quote-unquote legendary wrestlers who die that most of us have never heard of before.
That's the whole thing. When Piper went down, when Andre the Giant, when Hulk is going Cosmo Kramer all over the place. Like, I got it. Why it was news.
Right, this is
who
not.
Who are these people?
This would not be an A-level guy. So let me ask both of you.
Hell, even if it was Hawk or Animal, I might understand the legendary thing. This guy is out of nowhere.
Well, okay, no. This is the same.
If something happens in the Junkyard, I better hear about it. Is he dead?
It's the same era. I do not know.
Okay.
I do
I
not
think he's dead.
No, I think JYD is still with us. I think JYD is still with us. Love JYD. So do you guys remember Bret Hart?
Yeah.
I was out by then, but I know the name.
Okay. So this is Bret Hart's tag team partner. I mean, they were the Hart Foundation.
But she died of AIDS years ago.
No. They would have been in that same era of the Road Warriors, who you just mentioned, as one of the big-time tag teams. I would consider Neidhart like maybe the second level or third level of as far of known wrestlers.
You call yourself a wrestling fan. Junkyard Dog died in 1998.
Well,
that's a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. And obviously, I've turned over a new leaf when it comes to these discussions.
This is true.
If you could ask me today if John F. Kennedy is still alive? And I'm going to say yes. I believe he is. I think JFK is still with us. And then y'all look it up. And then y'all look it up and go, no, Chad, actually, I think he died in 1963. Oh, wow. Well, rest in peace.
Well, at least I didn't kill him, right?
Exactly. At least I didn't do it. That's the plan now.
Well, I'm sorry for your wrestler dying, but Aretha, I mean, this is...
Dude,
there's a lot of legends that have gone.
This is... Oh, I can't think of... I'm trying to think of the last one in music that would have
Tom
been
Petty?
This big for everybody. Because I'm not sure Tom Petty was that big for everybody. I mean, it crushed me. It crushed a lot of the fans. Aretha Franklin, though? Wow. It's like when James Brown dies. When somebody of that level goes, it's like, this is a whole nother thing. I mean, Aretha's just, you know, that's legend. I did not even know she was sick. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Aretha's had, you know, fluctuating weight throughout her life. And I don't know if that's related to this and if that's what this is all about.
Bring up her weight.
I know, man. I mean,
she's
losing it right now if it makes you feel better.
No, I'm just saying that is part
of skin and bones in a week.
Could be part of the discussion.
Chad will be really happy.
All right, we're going to stop talking about Aretha now because then you're going to just blame this conversation.
Is there one weight that you would not do her?
Aretha Franklin?
Yeah.
Ooh, good question.
No, it's Aretha Franklin, man. Come on.
Okay.
I mean, the Queen of Soul, I think you gotta take that opportunity wherever you can get it.
Dude, you're an animal. You really are.
Yes.
You would still make a go with the weight that isn't defined by a number, but more by the fact that she would need a forklift to get her out of the house?
Oh, come on.
Still go with that?
I don't think Aretha's ever been that big.
Well, we're throwing hypotheticals out here.
There's no 600-pound Aretha Franklin. That didn't happen.
I got a 350, though, here on Twitter or on Google if you want to take a look.
I think Aretha's always been able to carry herself around. Nobody had to get a crane.
I always thought she was...
To carry her.
At least pretty, just because, I mean, she was just so damn talented. Is so talented, Chad. You see, you got me going.
You see?
Oh, boy.
Do you see? Yeah.
Well, but I don't have the rep.
See what
and
he just
I've
did?
I've always secretly wanted to kill her.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion.
That's just
then.
A problem I have.
She is so talented, though, guys, that she could actually steal a song from Otis Redding, make it her own, and then be remembered more for that song than Otis Redding.
Right.
And it's her most famous song, too.
What Otis song is
did,
that?
He did Respect first, right?
He did.
Really?
Yeah. He actually referred, because he's no longer alive either, as the song that a woman stole from my heart or something.
I'm watching CNN last night, History of Comedy.
Yeah.
Did you know that Abbott Costello stole everything?
I'd never heard the story that they stole Who's on First.
People, because, I mean, those were the type of comedy shows you had around the country. And so they went around the country, and Who's on First had been going on.
So they all did this.
They
became famous.
They said last night they did it. They got to do it pretty well, but yeah, it was more that they were national.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were the fat guy, skinny guy combo, which up to that point in comedy, it was really either two fat guys or two skinny guys, not one of each.
It's the way to go. Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
It was a very good episode. Yeah, that History of Comedy, now that they've finally been able to show them and not tease us with them, that I thought it was very good.
Yeah, that's my least favorite type of comedy, and so I knew that I wasn't going to love it, but I still learned a lot. And it shows you how good that show is that I was able to grind through it.
You got through. Good for you.
Yeah, I know. I was grinding last night.
All right, Houston fans, let's see if we can get you something in the Big Three. I don't know if it's good news, but it's news. Here we go.
The Big Three.
Certainly not good news for the Astros over the weekend. They dropped 4 against Seattle. Yesterday it was a 4-3 loss in 10. Astros unable to keep a lead. Rondon blows a save. Osuna gets the loss. The Astros are only 2.5 up on Oakland now and 4 up on Seattle.
Mm-mm-mm.
And Kevin, before this month ends, there's more coming. Friday, they go to Oakland for 3.
Yep.
Next Monday, they go to Seattle for 3. And they've got 3 each with those two teams still at home to go. By the end of August, they're going to have 3 against Oakland, and then they have 3 more with Seattle in September. So this thing is not over, man. 2.5 and 4 games, Seattle and Oakland. We got to give them their love. They are not going away.
Yeah, I thought Houston would run away with this thing, and they have not. And their lineup is not the same. Correa is back now. He was 1-for-5 yesterday. It's going to take him a little bit of time. But even if they get Altuve back, and you've got those three guys, and those three meaning Bregman, Correa, and Altuve. You know, Marwin Gonzalez, who's kind of gotten hot as of late, is still hitting 242. Josh Reddick's hitting 249. They've had to rely on White, the rookie first baseman. it's just not, it's not going to be the same lineup. They're going to win this thing with their bullpen, which is why yesterday it sucks that Asuna got torched and then Rondon gets hit. So I don't know. I think Houston's at a spot right now where they're going to have to understand what kind of club they have, and it's not going to be the offensive club they have last year. I did forget about George Springer. You get Springer back, and it'll weight that lineup on the top. But give Seattle credit. I felt like Seattle was fading away, and they got some good starting pitching for the most part. And that was something that was not happening the previous 2 weeks outside of James Paxton. So this was big. I wouldn't have guessed this on Friday for anything.
Yeah.
It's baseball, but still, a four-game sweep?
Four-game sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Houston. That is tough. What you would have guessed is that the Yankees took 3 out of 4 from the Rangers. That you saw coming.
Yeah, that's not a shock.
Nah, Yankees go 7-2 yesterday. Let's give your Cubs a little love because that walk-off was pretty badass. I tuned in at 3-0.
I turned off.
I said I'm going to watch till the end and see if Scherzer can finish this thing off, and then the Washington bullpen hit a couple of Cubs, the infield error, and I thought, okay, they're giving him too many chances. And then is it Cote?
David Bodie.
Bodie, sorry.
Who's been good for them, has come up and has filled in for Bryant, and he was pinch hitting there. And yeah, they got lucky that Ryan Madsen just kind of lost it. He threw a two-seamer, hit a guy after the Dilfo error,
mm-hmm.
which was big. Kept
one out when that happened?
One out when that happened, but so it got a guy on, and then two hits batsman, and that would have been Contreras, the second one, loads it up. And at that point, you go out there, and one thing it does help with when a guy is struggling, I mean, he hit Contreras with a breaking ball, is that you doubt he's going to come in too much, right? And he's probably going to stay hard. Mm-hmm. And that's been a problem for you for years, I know.
I wasn't going to say a word.
Both of those things.
Not a word.
But, so he stayed with the hard stuff,
right?
I'll say that.
It's always my plan.
And he had thrown a fastball. He was staying low, too. Bodie was looking fastball, either four-seamer or two-seamer, and low. And he got it and got the bat head down. And he's a low ball hitter. I would be shocked if people don't start working him up and in a little bit.
That was great drama, too, because I felt like both guys got hit on second strike counts, and he went to a second strike count. So, I mean, the drama in that stadium was incredible.
Yeah, tell me baseball's boring if you watch that. If you do, you don't know.
The Cubs fans, they knew it could be their last moment, but they're hanging on, and they're hoping that it could be something, and they get a walk-off grand slam, and then they just rip the jersey off the guy.
I know.
Is that the new celebration everywhere?
Rip the jersey off of him. And then later on, he's doing a post-game interview, and they gave it back to him. I'm like, that jersey's gone. Give that to a fan.
Yeah.
That needs to be thrown up.
Yeah,
and I'm cool with it because give it as a souvenir, but you're not going to reuse that thing.
No, you're not doing that.
You're going to sew those buttons back on tonight.
So back to you, Houston fans. If you're a Rockets fan, you figure out if it's good or bad news. It's official. Carmelo Anthony is a Rocket. 1 year, $2.4 million deal, but he also gets over $25 million from the trade and the Hawks situation. So don't feel bad for Melo. He's making plenty of money.
So let's just say this. We just talked about it right there. One of the things we love about this job, and most of us love about sports, is that it can surprise you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see tendencies and trends, and it can surprise you. I'll say it right now. I'll be very surprised if Carmelo goes in there as a complete team guy and gives them scoring and plays good enough defense to really be a serious part of that rotation, or should be, even if he is getting playing time.
You should have started with that one, because then that just negates it all.
Okay.
We know he's not playing.
All right,
defense.
So if those three things happen, I'll come back here and
then
say I'm
you'll
surprised.
Say you're,
not two
say
out of three,
drunk.
All three.
All three have to happen. I hear you. He is 34 years old. This will be his 16th year in the NBA, and Mike D'Antoni says he doesn't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup. So could we see a situation where that second group could include Carmelo Anthony? One of the beautiful things Golden State has been able to do with their four guys is their second wave still has those stars in it. They can combine one or two of those guys, so you're always dealing with something. Could they figure out a
way?
Not
as much as last year.
Not as much,
yeah.
But can they figure out a way where the second wave includes Carmelo and it could be a good enough version of Carmelo that you know, that's dangerous for other teams. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't like Carmelo as a player.
No.
That's not going to change in year 17, is it now?
16th, I think, if I counted right.
So, but this will be the 17th?
I think this is his 16th year for him. But that is done. That is official. Tonight in baseball, by the way, Rangers back at it with Arizona. Zach Greinke and Bartolo Colon in that one. If you combine their ages, it's 55. That's not true. Zach just seems young to me.
No, it's not true because Bartolo, I mean.
Right. Bartolo's up
there. God knows.
Houston, easy to know. You don't have anybody. We don't want to get in trouble for saying somebody might not be a certain age. Baseball announcers have just gotten
that's
in trouble
true.
For
that's
that.
True. I think you're right. I think Juan Soto is 12.
Yeah, that's right. Houston is off tonight, and they play Colorado in a quick two-game set starting tomorrow. And we also talked a little PGA Championship. Congrats to Brooks Koepka. So some history there. Fifth golfer ever to win the U.S. Open and the PGA in the same year. Tiger did it in 2000. Before that, Jack Nicklaus did it in 1980. That's how rare that is. Arnold Palmer never did that. Phil has never done that. A lot of the big golfers. Ben Hogan did it way back in the day. He's one of the guys on the list, but it's just a rare, rare occurrence. So congrats to Brooks Koepka on that one.
So he's part of that list now.
Right. It's a big, big deal. It's those three guys plus Gene Sarazen. Those are the four that had done it, and now he's the fifth guy. It's impressive.
Look at her.
That is a good-looking woman now.
Jenna Sims.
She's not Mrs. Koepka yet.
No.
Yeah, she's looking good. She looked good yesterday. When you can look good with the hair just tied back like that.
Right.
You've been sweating all day. Looking good, Brooks Koepka. Golf game looked good yesterday as well. This text real quick says, I think I heard Tiger had 10 putts on the front nine. Yeah, he did. Think about that for a second. 9 holes, 10 putts. If you're a golfer, you know how stupid that is. That is absolutely dumb.
Well, and it goes to show you, too, how he was able to pull that off with just being atrocious with right. his drives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the extra part that I think golfers of any level had to appreciate about
that. He almost lost it a couple times. He's more chill. I think that's why we're enjoying this more, too, because you can tell he appreciates it more, and it was taken away from him, and he's just kind of happy to be out there. I mean, that fist pump. He wouldn't have given that.
If you know what the last hole?
Yeah, if he 5, 10 years ago, if he thought he was finishing second.
Right, because back then he knew every single major he could win. I think that fist pump was really important because I think that fist pump was, I can win one of these things.
Mm-hmm. I would think he would, the way he's playing right now.
At the Open, I think he thought he could contend at the British Open. This one was different. I think he knows now he can win it.
You know who called this? Not a shock.
Who's that?
Justin Ray. Was on months ago.
Yeah.
And we asked him and he said, guys, he goes, I'm not just trying to float this. I'm looking at analytics and numbers here. Tiger's not that far off.
He was definitely right. And Tiger may end up on that Ryder Cup team. Could be some more excitement through the end of the year with Tiger Woods. All right, coming up, get you a little crap bag. Got a couple things to get to, including the Cleveland Browns coming up with a truly unique way to punish a player. That is coming right up. We're going to talk some more Stanford football with Tom Fitzgerald of the San Francisco Chronicle at 4:05. Stanford is our number 15 team today in the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Reliable Automotive. This is the Horn.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, couple items for you here in the crap bag. First off, I got an email from Ole Miss Girl over the weekend. The Ole Miss has unveiled their new on-field mascot. They're actually going to have a dude, or I guess it could be a woman, in an outfit walking around, and they've gone with the land shark.
I saw this.
So instead of the bear, they're going to have a land shark. It's going to have the same name as the guy that initiated the whole land shark thing. If you don't know that story, the land sharks were a military group that it was an Ole Miss guy that actually played football. He served our country, and their unit got the nickname the land sharks. And so that's kind of where it came from. So it's going to be the land shark. He's going to wear the jersey number that guy wore. And so they're going to pay tribute to him in that way. I think the fans have decided maybe they don't like it as much as they liked Colonel Reb back in the day, but they don't want the bear anymore. So they're going to get in the middle here and go with the land shark.
Yeah, well, what was the thing back in the day? Just some white dude with a rebel flag and a gun or something?
No. It was like a, you know, like Colonel Reb, kind of like a Colonel Sanders vibe, right? The old guy with the beard and the hat and the whole thing. And I guess that was thought to be too plantation-like or too Old South or too, you know, all that stuff. So they've went away from that. Band doesn't play.
Well, there were white guys like that back in the day that weren't necessarily that.
Yes, I would argue that as well. But they
changed the name of Austin.
They decided to be safe, right? They decided to be extra safe about that. So they are going with the Land Shark at Ole Miss. Got a weird story out of the NFL coming up, but first, Kevin's going to tell you how to get it all hooked up with LinkedIn.
Yeah, if you are looking to hire, I know a lot of you people that listen to the show, you're working a bunch, and I know you may even be listening at work, but I'm going to help you out at work because you need to get to LinkedIn. LinkedIn has 70% of the U.S. workforce that goes there. Every day they hang out to grow professionally, and a lot of them will go there just to check out new job opportunities. Now, the problem is that 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, yet most don't visit job boards. So if you're not on LinkedIn, they're not going to be on a job board for the most part. The way to reach them, the way to find out about them is on LinkedIn, and you can find out a lot. It's going to intelligently target potential candidates based on insights from their behavior. So it's going to have that rich profile data, stuff that you won't find on a resume, and some stuff that you will. It's going to show skills, recommendations, interest, even how open they are to new jobs, possibly yours. New hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. We're going to help you out too. We're going to get you $50 to get you started. LinkedIn.com/HornFM. LinkedIn.com/HornFM. $50 off your first job post if you head there now.
All right, so I have to give credit to Hugh Jackson of the Cleveland Browns. He came up with maybe the most vicious, severe punishment you could ever give a player. Make him play for the Cleveland Browns. Antonio Callaway, the young kid out of Florida, he failed a pot test at the combine, so they've been watching him. He had some issues at Florida as well, so they've really been on him. Well, he just had another pot possession charge. He was cited for marijuana possession, suspended license. Also, they found bullets and a gun part in the car. Not a gun, a gun part. Some part of a gun was in the car.
Jesus.
So to punish him, Kevin, while he was playing in this preseason game, he asked out. He hit the top of the helmet and, hey, I'm gassed. I got to come out. And they would just look back at him and shake their head. Nope, you're staying in. So they made him play the entire, not the entire, but a good
sounds like a good draft pick
of this football game. Oh, yeah. It sounds like they really hit this one out of the park. So Antonio Callaway had to play longer than he thought he was going to have to in preseason game number one. That'll show him.
Yeah.
Make him be a Cleveland Brown even longer. Bunch of wackos.
I do like Njoku. I like Njoku.
That's the Miami tight end.
It's a Miami
right?
tight end. Caught a couple touchdowns in their first preseason game. He's going to be slippery. He's going to, whoever the quarterback is going to help out.
I saw Saquon's run. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he didn't have much out of that, and their team's going to be awful.
He's got a little bit of a.
There's not much you can take out of the first game. I knew that before the game, but
right.
Giants are going to be bad.
You think so?
Yeah.
I didn't say that as a Cowboys fan. Let me try that again.
Right.
You think so, Kevin?
I think so.
You think they're going to be bad?
And I think after watching Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia is going to go 3-13. I mean, they just got their doors blown off in that first preseason game.
It's always an indicator.
No, you're in trouble there. Yeah. But Giants, I think he may
Giants,
have a couple
freebies.
Giants,
you think they can be okay? All right. Kind of a weird move for the Eagles.
Actually, you won't because they'll play you tough.
Oh, they always do. No, that whole division always plays each other pretty tough. This Christian Hackenberg thing was weird. I saw that the Eagles grabbed Christian Hackenberg, but they say it has nothing to do with Foles or Wentz. I saw that Nick Foles had been a little banged up, so I figured, oh, they're just getting Hackenberg for insurance, but they're saying, no, that's not it. That's not about them at all.
It's a test.
They're bringing him in.
No, it's a test.
What's that?
To see if Peterson's offense is that good, if even Christian Hackenberg came in, our third stringer, and he's flinging it around. He looked completely different.
If he's slinging RPOs yeah. around, and he's calling them all right, like, wow, this guy is
this
amazing.
Guy, this is it.
This is
it. No, that was more of a joke. That was a bet that we had back here.
They're calling Manziel. Hey, dude, in about 2 years, come on down here. We got a challenge for you.
So he played in his second preseason game, right?
Okay, I did not see that.
And I guess he played, or not preseason game, his second Canadian game.
I saw the first start. I did see the first start game.
Did he get knocked? Did he get knocked silly at the goal line?
I don't know. I haven't seen.
I'm not sure if that was the first game or the second game, but he got popped, and I thought, ooh,
looked like it hurt.
Yeah,
yeah. I haven't seen. I know that's a bad team, and his first outing was really bad with the four picks and everything. But he ate it in the press conference. I mean, He's saying everything he needs to say.
Right.
He's not playing well yet, but
that's all right.
It's a long time, 900 and something days between games, I think. All right, coming up, we'll talk some Stanford football. They look to play some good football this year. They've got USC early on. They're at Oregon. They're at Notre Dame before September is done. We'll talk about Coach Shaw's group with Tom Fitzgerald of the San Francisco Chronicle coming right up on the Horn.